Welcome. This is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. Glad you're with us this evening. This next hour, we're going to talk about money. What's going on with it today? Hey, may give you some idea about how the Fed is seeing things. May surprise you, may not. Hey, if you'd like to join the conversation, let's talk about your money. Where's it headed? Is it going the right way? You need more of it? Social Security, taxes, savings, returns.
I think gold's going to come up in today's show as well.
Gold might be in the topic today as well. Give us a call, 504-260-0995. I am your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. I almost want to jump right into the numbers, but let me put a little context around it. First off, the markets earlier this week sounded like they were pretty sure a rate cut was coming down on Wednesday, also known as today. And now, Gregory, your theorem on the Fed changing the rates, lifting rates, it only happens when there's a podium afterwards, when there's a press conference afterwards.
But there was no change.
But there was no change. Right. So your theorem stays intact. And it's been that way since 2016, December 2016, December 2015. When was that first liftoff under Janet Yellen? That might be December 2015. So that would make it a 3.5 year success story, which it might be passing past the theory stage into the next level up in the scientific method would be a law. This would be Gregory's law. But the rule says that these interest rate hikes have a curious pattern of only happening when there is a press conference with the Federal Reserve chairman after the meeting. So the 2-day meeting was today. And that's not to say that if there's a press conference, there's going to be a rate hike. It's just kind of saying the inverse of that. If there's a rate hike, it's only going to happen when there's a press conference. See what we're saying there? So that is staying unchanged. But a lot of this foreshadowing that was coming down the pike, it has a tendency to be correct. Wasn't correct this time around. Also, I can't just understate how much the trade issues that are going on between the United States, Mexico, Canada, China, and a bunch of other trading partners, how that is having effects, and I would say the word distortions, on the market. But we had Mexico ratify the USMCA trade deal. That's the new thing that's supposed to replace NAFTA. United States, Canada, and Mexico just come on board with a new agreement. But Mexico's government is the only one of the three countries to actually sign off on the treaty. It hasn't been ratified here in America, hadn't been ratified in Canada, but they jumped all over it in Mexico with an overwhelming majority of legislators on the floor saying, I guess they were saying C. It was 114-4 with 3 abstentions. So really, 114 said yes, 4 said no, 3 said no say. So that is, in the political world, that is a trouncing, and that wasn't expected by me. But that being said, now we good to go into the numbers. Anything to add to that, Gregory? Are you surprised?
Well, I was just going, it's December 17th, 2015, when the Fed started raising rates, to be exact, and it's been at a podium afterwards whenever a rate hike has happened. So now, no possibility based on that history that's still in place. So when's that next chance? September.
We might have to do a little bit of digging here, because if I remember correctly, and this is off the top of my head, they didn't used to do press conferences, whether they had a rate hike or not. That was something new that happened under Bernanke. And your theorem may be flawless going back through the sands of time, just because there's nothing to compare it against before this liftoff happened in 2015. Right?
I recall the press conferences started with Helicopter Ben Bernanke. So that's what was kind of the trend, is like, this is a new world we're in, and
y'all need to have press conferences? Really? Is it that important? I mean, we have the internet now. You could just tweet what you're going to say and everyone will see it. No. All right. Enough context there. Let's get into the numbers.
The numbers.
Welcome to the numbers segment. This is where we tell you what happened in the financial world while you are out winning at life. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs we're looking at. Download the Winning at Life app. There's a little numbers page there. But it was a split Federal Reserve. There was one guy that said, I don't know, I think we need a rate cut. But the rest of them said, no, let's keep it flat so the Fed leaves interest rates unchanged. I'm a little shocked, though, because after the last couple of trading days with a lot of positivity, they were saying they're baking in a rate cut. They're baking it into the cake. But then I go look at the indices, and they're all up today. Dow Jones was up almost 0.2%, S&P up 0.3%, and NASDAQ up 0.4%. So nice positive day, even though I thought this would be disappointing news. Wasn't this kind of disappointing news for the markets? They didn't seem to care. They didn't seem to shrug it off. And maybe these positive numbers we've been getting for the last week and a half or so, isn't just them baking it into the cake. Maybe it's actually just solid economic growth, Gregory.
Gosh, I was trying to find an article I was reading a few minutes ago. And basically, we've got the French 10-year bond yield falls to 0% for the first time. Swedish 10-year bond yield falls to 0% for the first time. Austrian 10-year bond yield falls to 0% for the first time. And as far as our 10-year treasury, we're still at 2.01%.
Now that tells me Europe is probably in a recession right now. A big chunk of the European countries had either flat or negative growth for the first quarter of 2019. In fact, the only one that had a solid positive number on their GDP growth, and this is all off the top of my head, I'm not referencing anything on my computer here, was the UK. And so the concern is, well, if this happens for two quarters in a row, that's technically a recession. And when you see all this money flying to the safety of the bond world, I think a lot of people might agree that maybe the good times are over just for a minute in Europe and a recession is among us. Is that too apocalyptic?
Yeah, but still, okay, they're obviously seeing data we don't see. For some reason, we don't see all the things they see. I think that's kind of weird, really. But it's not there because they didn't cut rates. And I still find it odd that we're having talk about cutting rates. Have they, and I don't know the details, but the unwinding of the balance sheet, has that actually stopped?
No. That's and that's scheduled to stop in September?
Yes.
Okay, so we're on
so
the same page.
That'd be equivalent of being accommodative by stopping that, because the equivalent is it's the same as raising rates with their unwinding there. So it'd be interesting to see that, yet we're still at 2.01%, which also tells us what's going on globally and what I mentioned on going zero or negative, which means if you're putting money on deposit with a central bank and you want to withdraw it, you're withdrawing less than you put there. So why would you put money there? You wouldn't.
Put it in
a shoebox.
You've got
a billion. Well, you put it in a shoebox or you put it with the U.S. Treasury and you make a whole bunch of money. You what? Make $20 million instead of losing $20 million for being on deposit. So that's one reason our 10-year, our bonds are moving down. A lot of money is flowing this way. And it's not necessarily, and we still have to look at what's going on with the central banks. Are they buying into the market still or restarted doing so? Or are they unwinding? But what the treasuries are telling us is money's coming here because it doesn't have anywhere else to go. You want to give it to China?
Good Lord, no.
You want to give it to Japan?
No.
You don't want to give it to Germany? Austria? No. Australia's moving down as well in their yield. So, okay, enough about treasuries.
Well,
we know it's...
More of the story happens in the commodities. Look what happened to gold. If you look at the chart, it's gone straight up as of just the last few hours of trading today. Someone got a little freaked out.
You know, did you read that article about Venezuela's gold
that
I sent you?
There was
a bunch of gold went missing.
Yeah,
in
it
Africa.
Got sent to Africa, right?
Yeah. So was there an exchange of money? Maduro, he's cashing out.
Yes,
I don't know. That's sketchy, and everybody, you know, what that is basically, it's like dirty diamonds. You know, the illegal diamonds. Like nobody's supposed to have them. And they were talking about how the markings were marked off the gold, but you know, gold is heavy. They're talking about a couple flights and all that gold to Africa. I was just questioning the weight, the tonnage of the gold. With that said, I don't know what aircrafts hold, but it just seemed, you know, gold's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, that's kind of looked at as dirty gold. So those that partook in that trading of that gold may have some problems coming. So gold futures at $1,362.30. So with gold moving on the market, that was unexpected. We still have an increase in gold. Now, as far as crude oil, we've seen that move up a little bit, $54.41 for crude. Brent crude futures are $62.47. So it's interesting that has actually narrowed a little bit more.
The spread, right.
Yeah. And silver's over $15 again. Rarity for it, but it's over $15. It's $15.14. So there's your metals.
Yeah, I had a funny earnings report today for this energy firm, Clearwater Energy. They had to release their second quarter. You know, it's just part of the process here. And they did okay, but they had some guidance in there on why some revenue was missing out of one of their solar plants. They call this is unexplained, but they call it an avian incident. So a bird hit a wire or a transformer or something. It triggered a fire at one of California's biggest solar farms and knocked out 84% of the generating capacity of that solar power plant. They said it didn't hit any solar panels. It just caused...
Just one wire?
Just caused...
Yeah, you should have ran maybe a few backup wires.
Yeah, it's that easy. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is how we roll.
This is how we do. Okay. I don't know how many gigawatts of energy we can produce, but we're going to put up a few solar panels in my backyard. Hey, look, this is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. We went to break and James was talking about the gigawatts. Well, I turned it into that. How many gigawatts does it take to do time travel?
Well, to operate my flux capacitor, it's 1.21
gigawatts. 1.21
gigawatts.
So you've not improved upon that since the 80s.
Since 1985? Yeah, that's when I mastered this art of time travel.
I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you know how to get more gigawatts out of, what was that car?
The DeLorean?
Yeah, the pure metal covered DeLorean. Stainless steel.
You need to see that movie again.
Oh, I've seen it a few times. That's James Parker. If you want to join the conversation, 504-260-0995. So how much, okay, $250 billion for a 250-watt?
Megawatt.
Megawatt station. And we could knock out a nuclear plant for about $9 billion per unit. And that gives us a gigawatt?
1.21 gigawatts. Yeah, that or a bolt of lightning.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Nuclear plants are so problematic. Obviously.
They are?
Since we don't build any.
They're not problematic. They're not problematic at all.
No, they're problematic in getting it done.
Oh, yes. The permitting process is a nightmare.
Yeah, I think that part cost you about $8 billion of the project. What do you think?
Yeah,
maybe I'm a little high. Maybe $7 billion of the $9.
It at least doubles the cost, and that has been what has stopped us from building. I don't think we've actually completed a new nuclear power plant since like 1981. In this country. Now we have the permitting process that's already underway for a couple now. Just magically the wheel started moving on that when the White House changed administrations. I'm sure that's a coincidence. So
and then it'd take about 5 years to do.
Is that how long it takes to put it together?
That's what I'm seeing here.
And don't call in and say, well, what about Three Mile Island? Yeah, what about Three Mile Island? How many people died in the Three Mile Island?
None.
Zero. How many people were injured? None. People, it's basically for a handful of people that work there, they got exposed to a microwave with the door open for about 1 second, and there was no radiation that went out into the public sphere that had any effect on anybody whatsoever, and that's been the excuse to absolutely slam the brakes on science and innovation and technological advancements for almost 40 years now. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, I'm very pro-nuclear, by the way.
I can tell. Let me do a search here. What countries use your energy?
Now, I think France leads the way. Because
France does. That was, yeah.
Because they happen to be this small confluence of first world wealthy countries that don't have any oil. France does not have oil deposits to speak of sitting under itself or its continental shelf.
The U.S., France, Russia, South Korea, Germany, China, Canada, Ukraine. Did I mention Russia?
Yeah. Did you say Japan in there? Because I'd figure
there's more, but that there's 17 countries. The 17 countries generating the most. And let me go to that full. Japan is ranked number 17. 17,230 gigawatt hours supplied by nuclear electricity.
I think it's
Finland's another. Okay.
Let's just say gigawatt.
22,000 gigawatts. Gigawatts by Finland. Switzerland's given up creating 24,000 gigawatts.
Sweet.
I do like that better. Gigawatts.
I know it's not correct, but
Czech,
it's more fun.
Czech Republic.
How are they doing? What are
28,000 gigawatts.
That's not even that big of a country.
India's 29,000. So as we move up, look, Belgium's 38,000.
That's a tiny country.
I know. That and windmills is what they're using only.
It's like the size of Arkansas.
Spain, 58,000 gigawatts. Sweden, 61,000 gigawatts. United Kingdom. And that never struck me as the UK big on that, but they're 63,000 gigawatts. Ukraine, they're serious about it at number 8, 84,000 gigawatts.
Now that's weird because they do have oil and coal.
Canada, they have some oil.
Tons.
89,000 gigawatts.
There's only 30 million Canadians.
20 total current reactors, so we could even look at the reactors they're running. Ukraine has 15 current reactors. China, do they have any? 92,000 gigawatts. 17 current reactors.
They're doing a lot with
Germany, 94,000 gigawatts. 9 reactors. Those dudes are kicking out.
Do you mean they have none? They have zero reactors? Or they
nine.
Have
nine.
Well, nine means
nine.
That means no.
Oh, the number nine.
Okay.
8, 9, 10.
Sure.
Nine. I see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Messing with me over there. Trying to find something to throw across the studio here. South Korea, 143,000 gigawatts. That'll power a lot of time travel. 23 total current reactors. Russia, 166,000 gigawatts, 33 current reactors. Hopefully all of those were repaired.
Those are a big jump up there from South Korea to Russia.
Yeah, I understood from watching a certain series, they threw a lot of them together.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
France, 407,000 gigawatts.
That's like three times what Russia's doing.
This is unbelievable. 58 total current reactors.
Wow, France, good for you.
Well, and there's one country I've not mentioned yet.
Is this the number one?
Yes. It's the United States of America. 100 current reactors, 770,000 gigawatts. The number one power of time travel.
We're number
one. I'm just kidding about the time travel, but man.
All right, so something else is on the short sheet. There wasn't a whole lot of movement on one of our favorite companies. Hog is the ticker symbol, HOG. We're talking about Harley Davidson. They were down 7 cents today, so basically a flat day. But there was a big piece of news that came out. Harley Davidson is now partnering with a Chinese manufacturer, and they are going to build what they're calling smaller, more accessible motorcycles. See what's going on there, Gregory? Smaller, more accessible.
Harley mopeds? Is that it?
Oh, it better not be a moped. But a 338cc engine, which would be far smaller than anything Harley has out right now. But this accomplishes two goals.
It's a big engine moped.
It's a monster motor scooter is what it is. No, look, 338cc, that can get you going pretty fast.
I don't know. That doesn't excite me. China. Well, maybe they just need to move some more people around.
Yeah, maybe so. Motorcycles are bigger over there in those second world countries than they are here.
What about third world? You've been to any of those lately?
Man, I'm never going to another third world country if I can help it. Those places... not my idea of a good time.
Hey, I had an invite recently to go to Dominican Republic. I was busy.
Yeah. Sorry. I like my health.
I was like, really? I'm kind of busy. I'm booked.
And look, the only way I'm going to a third world country now is if you're paying me or I just get, you know, struck by some sort of conviction and I'd become a missionary. That's the only way it makes sense for someone to be doing that. But Harley Davidson has a different set of situations going on with them. You know, they have a big chunk of their manufacturing that's happening. It's in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, that's the town.
So it has happened that other countries outside of America will slap tariffs on Harleys, making them not as popular outside of America as they are here. Well, Trump said, well, we're going to reciprocate that, and I'm going to put an even bigger tax on the motorcycles that come from your country. And so they raised their Harley tariff to match that so they would be reciprocal to Donald Trump. So Harley's been looking at, okay, well, maybe we need to open a manufacturing plant in Europe. That way we don't have to have it cross a border and get hit with the tariff, and we'll be more competitive there.
Yeah, why not?
And if they're going to move manufacturing outside the country, you know, they could do the same thing with China, do some manufacturing there, not have to worry about a tariff, and they're opened up to the world's biggest motorcycle market, potentially, on the planet. But how do you have to do that
in
China?
Well, you give up some of your stuff. But they're not building Harleys. The American Harleys for the Chinese. Look, they're building more of what the Chinese want.
Yes. You're right. It is Harley in air quotes only. None of these motorcycles are going to show up on Sons of Anarchy.
No, they will not ride or roll on those here.
But I wish them the best of luck. This might be what keeps Harley Davidson afloat for a while until all this could get settled down, or maybe they just find a niche outside the world or outside of America. But what if we end up liking those motorcycles here? Wouldn't that be weird if the tariff war ends, they already have manufacturing in China, and we start importing Harleys from China that aren't
You're blasphemy, James Parker.
Do not
talk like that on this show.
All right, let's just strike that from the record. Angie, can you jump in the DeLorean and just erase that part of the show? 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. Hey, do you have the Winning at Life app? I do. Might be my wallet's favorite app. It's got some cool resources on there and a dashboard. One of the things you probably ought to learn a little bit more about is our online website. You need to go to gregoryricks.com and click on the tab My GPS to find out about the guided planning system website. It kind of can be a resource, and it's actually free. There, I'm free. Is it free, complimentary, or is it a gift? I don't know, but I don't charge.
It's at no cost to you.
It's no cost. That would be it. No cost to you. But it can kind of be a resource where you can link up your accounts and such and see what's going on. Look at your accounts anytime, anywhere on the planet, give you an idea of what's going on. A lot of resources as well. So check it out and email us at info@gregoryricks.com. Hey, the Winning at Life app, other reasons to have it is you can email, text, call the show through the app, listen to podcast. You could stream us right now. There's in there links to Facebook Live and Periscope.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Just go to your app store and download that. Had somebody mention, are we having trouble with Android on the app store?
Oh, I haven't heard anything lately, but I haven't been messing with Android much.
Well, I don't know anything about Android and so forth. Might have to look at that.
I will.
Tomorrow.
I will.
On that. Somebody had mentioned that last night at the Wine, Wisdom, and Food event.
Oh, how'd that go, by the way? Man, we didn't even talk about that yet.
It was so fun. It was awesome. And, you know, my favorite part, the port with that sin cake. It's so thick, chocolatey, it's sinful. And I like tasting the port before, and somebody come in and, you know, that's really sweet port. I don't care for it. And then they tasted the chocolate cake. Then they tasted the port again and like, oh, well, this port tastes really good now. See, it gives you such a different flavor there, experience. And I kind of use that the topping off of the evening when we've talked about wine and food and some
tips and stuff, along with some ideas on your money and reasons to sign up for your Social Security account. And I had so many people come up to me afterwards and thank me and have a really great time. They learned a lot. They're going to come in and see us at the office. So I'd say it was a success. People left happy. And by the way, go to your app store, download Winning at Life.
Okay.
And so make use of it.
Man, I was thinking about doing a segment today. A listener, Steve, heard our show where we were talking about one of the new Social Security scams. And he says, I got a call like that the other day and I recorded it. So he sent it to me and I listened to it. And yeah, it actually followed the model of what we were talking about last week. And then he tried to send me another one today because he got another scam call this week and it didn't work. So he just resent it to me and I just listened to it. But what I'm thinking is, we may just have to hold off and do this on Friday.
Okay.
Because what it did with the first scam call is it gives you a number at the end. And so I'm the type of jerk that'll call the number and then stick you right into my soundboard and record whatever conversation we're about to have. Because this is a scam. I want to talk to a scammer. But the number was dead by the time I got to it. I figured these numbers are transient.
Oh, I remember, I don't know, a year or two ago, some of those scammers, you know, the scam on you've won the lottery. We just need you to send some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of those.
Just go ahead, send me my money, and I'll cut you a good deal back. You send the check to me.
I love talking to those guys.
I know. They hung up on me.
they didn't send you the money. That's so weird.
No, but I won. But they wouldn't send it to me unless I sent them money. I'm like, no, just send me the check and then I'll send you some.
All right. Well, the reason I don't want to do this now is because this other one he sent me, if that number is still good, number one, I don't want to play it over the air. Number two, I want to play it before it goes dead and record whatever conversation I have with scammers. Because that just tickles me to death. I have so much fun with that. In fact, it wasn't too long ago, I'd called a scammer who was in Africa. But his English was so bad, it wasn't usable for the show, and he could tell I was messing with him, and he hung up pretty quick. But, Steve, your contributions are legion and very appreciated, and we might have to do this Friday. I would say we're going to do this tomorrow, but there's some NBA draft coverage on one of our affiliates, and so I think I'm going to save that for when everybody is listening. But it followed the model. You get a call, first red flag. Social Security rarely calls people. I would say never, but they have phones in their office, and they do make some phone calls. But as far as you having trouble with your account,
typically, if you're going online and needing some help or set an appointment, you can set up a call where then they'll call you back. But I just don't recall getting a call out of the blue myself. They have no reason to call me, but they do return phone calls.
One thing that was still within the pattern, but just a little different, is they made up an agency they were with. The U.S. Social Security Collections Department, or I forgot what the actual verbiage is, but that was something that was warned against from Social Security and then also repeated in the report that we were referencing from Fox Business last week. Jude confirmed that he's heard things like that before as well. So it followed that, and then there was a phone number to give you a call back. There was also a threat that they're going to, I think it was sue you in one of these, and in the report, it said they were threatening to suspend or cancel your Social Security number, which I'm not even sure if that's really legally possible. Do Social Security numbers get suspended? I know you really have to.
Generally, when you're dead.
Yeah.
And I don't know of other reasons. And
the reissue, that only happens.
Jude Heath, CPA of J. Heath & Company, mm-hmm. Somebody that we work closely with. His firm on helping clients. And he talked about Social Security numbers can be changed out, but it's extremely difficult.
Rare.
Yeah, rare. If your Social Security number goes bad for some reason, I guess it gets stale or somebody messes it up.
You leave the cap off.
Yeah.
Oxidized.
I'm just trying to think of a reason you'd want to change it. It's stale. It doesn't work anymore.
All right, so I'm going to play the first one, the one I had prepared for today, but let's not do the whole segment on it. Let's just kind of whet the appetite, and we'll come back and do the full rundown on Friday. This is from Steve, who's actually over in the Periscope feed right now. Thank you, Steve. Oh, and Jeff on Facebook Live says he's listened to our radio show 1,000 times, but the first time he's actually watched us before. Sorry. I hope you're not too disappointed that we're not more handsome. But anyway, here is the scam.
Speak for yourself.
Here's the scam call from Steve.
The reason of this message is to inform you that SSA department is filing lawsuit against you. An arrest warrant has been released on your name due to legal enforcement actions by your social security number for fraudulent activities. To get more information about this case, file from federal database. Press 1 and speak to our officer now. Or call on this number, 475.
Yeah, yeah, and then the rest of that's phone number that he says a couple times. That area code, I think that traced back to Connecticut, if I remember properly. I just Googled it to make sure or to see if it was a real number. And it could possibly have been someone's real number at one time. But this was, you'll notice a little tweaks and twists on these different scams. This one says an arrest warrant has been issued. And that's a little scary. That'll get your radar beeping pretty loud. You get a robocall and SSA department. No one calls it SSA department. It's Social Security Administration. It's already in there. And this is more than just sort of semantical complaint. Like, it bothers me when people say ATM machine. Because ATM is automatic teller machine. So what you're saying is automatic teller machine. So SSA department. Well, that's a little repetitive. And I know it sounds petty, but government doesn't make mistakes like that. They're very serious about their nomenclature of their departments.
I've probably gotten one of those calls because that voice is familiar, but I kill it really quickly. Or if they've left me a voicemail, I probably kill it. When you just hear that, It's a scary little voice, and so I just end it knowing it's a robo.
You know, that now that you mention it, we might have all heard that voice because it's a synthesized voice that you could plug it into, I don't know, like Google Translate. If you type in words, it'll just say a whole paragraph for you. But yeah, it
so the government uses synthesized voices to call people.
Heck no, they don't. Man, they're still stuck in 1988. They'll send you a fax before they send you a synthesized voice.
You know, I was watching this movie, Michael Clayton, and the guy had a hit and run or something, and Michael Clayton had went by his country home, and the phone starts ringing. He said, is that the cops? He says, no, they don't call. They just show up.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. What's up? This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks, The Money Show. Gregory Ricks is across the table from me, and he is a financial advisor. That's his day job. I'm James Parker. My day job is this. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. Gregory, I found a lot of good or interesting gold statistics for the storyline here. And this is basically post in Zero Hedge, where Tyler Durden, the pseudonym for an anonymous blogger on what is a great financial blog, puts the case together for gold to go up, the implications for gold going on a big bull run here. Now, I'm going to separate out my little stapled sheets here and just go to a chart without any explanation here. I thought this was absolutely fascinating. The top holders of gold. Which countries and their central banks have the most gold? Now, the concern here was Russia is starting to move up the list, and they may be leapfrogging France and Italy into third place. But if you had to guess what country is number one, what country's central bank holds the most gold?
India. It's obviously not the U.S., or you wouldn't ask me.
Well, see, it was a trick question. It's the U.S.
It is.
Yeah, I was just being a jerk there. Sorry. Okay. Number two, though, gets a little weird. Number two is Germany, and then Italy, France, Russia, China, Switzerland, Japan, Netherlands, India. Isn't that bizarre? But look what the spread is. I mean, it's the United States by almost a factor of three over Germany. Where's the UK in that? How is China having 1.3 billion people, and they're far down the list? India has 1.3 billion people. They're 10th.
Okay, so why are they holding gold?
Why does anybody hold gold? It's a store of value. And
it doesn't back the currency.
It doesn't.
It did at one time, but there's not enough gold on the planet.
It may again if we go to fractional. I know you're not a big fan of that. But here's the deal.
Fractional backing.
I know you know about this, but the guy listening probably doesn't. If this some of this gold from the German central bank from their gold holdings was going to be transferred to France. I don't know if they bought it or they traded it for oil or they traded it for a Lacar. I don't know. But the bank that makes that transaction, where do the central banks go when they have to buy and sell and move these giant barges of gold and switch them out between countries? Unless you're doing something under the radar like Venezuela, that's going to be handled by what's called Basel, the Basel Bank. It's in Basel, Switzerland, and it is basically the agreed market community for the top 60 central banks in the world. And Basel has made, this was a little over my head, but just trust me here, they've made some moves toward gold officially being considered money again. And the concern is when these top 60 central banks have to deal with something like a Zimbabwe, do you want to get paid in Zimbabwe dollars? Do you want to get paid in Venezuelan pesos? Do you want to get paid in any of these currencies that are the monetary equivalent of a dumpster fire? Of course not. And so they've relaxed the rules a little bit more so more transactions can be had, can be done in actual gold. Right now we have central banks buying gold, close to record amounts of gold at the same time. When you look at the net number, of course, some central banks are shedding their holdings, some are buying, but the buying is outnumbering the selling by record amounts. Also, excessive U.S. sanctions, that's the words of Tyler Durden here, I don't think they're that excessive, but they have incentivized countries to use gold, which may be behind what you brought up a couple segments ago with Venezuela sending a billion, I don't know, how much was it? It was just tons and tons of gold to Africa. You know, if you're going to buy and sell oil on the international market, that usually has to be done in American dollars. But China is trying to explore ways to allow for large-scale oil-for-gold trades. They have an initiative that's already underway called the Golden Alternative, where they haven't made the trades yet, but it looks like they're trying to position themselves for a world in which the U.S. says, nope, you can't use our dollar anymore. You are not permitted. So these I'm just going through Tyler's case for gold going up. He also thinks that the Fed's reversal and return of easy money could make gold a little bit stronger against the dollar and make it more palatable for trades.
What, did gold increase its dividend or something?
Nope. Sure didn't.
Okay.
He also sees that there's a bit of a takeover frenzy in the gold mining industry. Not that that really affects how much us in the regular world use it, but it is bullish for the price of gold. Trump has made plenty of pro-gold statements, including being open, at least interested in the idea of exploring returning to some form of the gold standard. He hadn't done anything about it, but he's at least said the words. He also thinks the rise of socialism in not just America, but a couple other countries basically guarantees more currency debasement, which would make gold a more popular alternative. And then now we have the birth and rise of gold-backed cryptocurrencies that would make owning and using gold a little bit easier than it has been in the past. Any one of these bullet points would be decent news for gold, but package them all together, and Tyler Durden is swearing gold has to go up by a huge amount. There's going to be an epic gold bull market on the menu, and you need to get positioned now because he says this is going to start before the end of 2019. I do not share his confidence, but those bullet points are interesting.
Yeah, I don't share his confidence either.
He has gotten stuff wrong before. But the case for gold going up. Someone comes into your office and they're like, man, I've heard all these rumors. I've been reading all these blogs. I think gold's about to take off. What should I do, Gregory? And I love bringing this up with you because you're notorious for throwing sobriety onto...
Go have a steak dinner with a nice Cabernet Sauvignon and relax. Sleep on it.
Mm-hmm.
You might think differently in the morning. How do you like that answer?
That wasn't very filling. How do you talk guys out of their
gold?
Well,
then you should have got a larger filet mignon. Don't buy the small one.
I see what you did there. But do that thing where you tamp down my enthusiasm for gold, because I get a little worked up too. You've seen me get excited. Like, why not? Just throw some gold. All these people can't be wrong all the time. At some point, the gold bulls are going to be right, so... I'm not saying Tyler Durden's always going to get it right, but at this point, how do you argue against all that case?
Well, it's had a nice move up for the week, for the month. It's been climbing for the past 3 months. It's up. Year to date, gold is up a little bit. 1 year, gold is up. And if I go back to 3 years now, it had a high back on July 2nd of 2016, it was at $1,367.10. So, darn, it's up over 3 years. Let's see. Let me see over the 3 years. There's another spike.
Well, we're right about that spike there. We're at 1,363.
Yeah, 1,367.10. So, yeah, it's up a little bit over 3 years. But when you look at the chart, yeah, okay, this might be its peak based on looking at 3 years, and the peaks are all really close to this spot, and then it starts moving downward. That's what the history has shown on just looking at the recent history of the 3 years. So I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't pay a dividend. How are you acquiring it? You've got to pay a fee to buy it. You've got to pay storage. Then you've got to pay a fee to sell it. And what are we buying it for? Is this doom and gloom? Are you buying it because everything's going to hell in a handbasket right now? No, things look pretty good. Unless you're in Russia or Hong Kong or something.
Venezuela,
you might be
exactly,
worried.
Yeah.
Venezuela, but they shipped all their gold out, so they're not panicking.
All right, I looked in the back of the fridge. I found a nice cold glass of Gold Sobriety, and that's in the form of this audio soundbite from Jim Cramer, CNBC. This is November 4th, 2011. 2011.
I want to own gold here. I think gold's going to $2,500 by this time next year.
Wow.
Yeah, I really think it will. 18 months from now, I think you go to $2,500. I think that gold's been up for 10 straight years. It's going to be the 11th finish this year. It's up very big.
Yeah, now, if I'm not mistaken, it's about $400 cheaper per ounce than it was when he said that.
He just texted me. He said, would you please ask James to quit playing that?
That one, though.
I know. He hates it, really, too. Hey, thank you for listening to the show tonight. If you would like to have more of a conversation about your personal situation, where are you on the financial path? Is there time to take advantage of your energy period? You want to grow your money? Learn how to diversify those investments? Call my office, 504-832-9200. Go to info@gregoryricks.com.
Your home away from the show is winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. For podcasts and more information, go to gregoryricks.com or call 504-832-9200. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.